Blog Talk Radio.
The views expressed here are not necessarily those of all hosts, guests, or producers, and the show is for a mature audience. It is the 6th of August, 2014, and I am Rob, Santa Marcy Field, coming to you from Ileana, where we've been having autumn mornings and summer afternoons. So, you know, this climate change is taking something to get used to, and I don't think I'm going to get used to cool summer mornings for quite a while, actually. However, onward and upward, some news that may not have arrived on your mainstream media, I don't know because I don't watch it, but I just found this and I thought, well, okay, this makes total sense. It's totally understood as far as I'm concerned move that President Putin made. He's placed sanctions on all agricultural goods imported from the U.S. and the European countries that are seeking to harm Russia. So this week, Moscow will be holding talks with Argentina, Ecuador, and Brazil as it's looking elsewhere for food imports. And in my opinion, and many others, I believe, not importing GMO-infested food from the U.S., can only be a blessing for the people's health, truthfully. So it's not all a bad thing. However, there are a couple exceptions. Wine and baby food will be still allowed in. So, you know, you've got to have something to drink and the babies have to have something to eat. So, you know, no problem. It's all good. I thought that was sort of strange, though, the two exceptions. But I think later we're going to actually find out what the foods are, because there may be some others that get through. But this is action that is well within the bounds of common sense, because the U.S. has put out these sanctions trying to hurt Russia. So why would Russia want to do business with these countries? Another bit. This is sort of for the green, but it's also just news. It's current events. India, and I'm sure other countries have too, been using drones to track wildlife and check on poachers. So now, I mean, you know, this is an actual use for drones that makes sense for everyone, and it looks like we're going to have drones with us, so we may as well get some kind of a benefit from them. By January of 2015, India is planning on putting into effect a new program that will affect 10 different sites in the country. So, you know, cracking down on poachers is one of the goals for all people who care about the planet and wildlife, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, good for them. A good use for the drones. And I found something else that is, you know, I put it on the Air Marte Fuel Facebook page. I thought this was pretty cool, actually. It's 8 things you probably didn't know you could recycle. And I'm sure that some people know, you know, you've known some of these, but others might make you think. I'll just read them. And when you go to the article, you can click on it, tells you actually where to send these different things. The first is Christmas trees, and where I am, you can just put those out, and they come and they take them, they grind them, and then this is a kind of mulch. So that works fine. Holiday lights, I did not know there's a place you can send them, and they will tear them down and use them again, make something from them. Carpet, there again, I've never had enough that I tore away that was still good enough to do anything with, really. Except, you know, I have it on my front porch, and it's there where the weight bench is, so that if I actually want to get off the bench and do something on the floor, I have carpet. You know, you take it camping a few times, and if you've been in the mudslide camping areas, pretty soon it's pretty bad. I know that if you tear it in small pieces and all, you can compost it, or if you have some kind of a grinding thing, you could do that. But in this article, it tells you where to go with that. Another thing is wine corks. And not being a major wine person, I've never had more than maybe a couple around. And I know that they're big on do-it-yourself. You can make little, what do you call them, you know, like bulletin boards from them. You can make trivets for hot things. But you can also send them away. Crayons, we used to just melt them down and use them with other wax for candles, which you can still do, but you can also send them away where they make new crayons. Trophies, again, all you bowling people, and you ask ladies to have all these trophies from way, way back that you don't want anymore, or you don't have the room, take the picture of them, send them away. Bras. Now, this sort of took me by surprise because the bras that are good, and for whatever reason, if I don't want them anymore, wrong size, whatever, I give them away. But I guess that would be the same thing. This is gently used bras. So instead of just giving them to a local place, this is an organization that will send them elsewhere. And greeting cards. So I remember as a kid growing up, the people in the church I went to, they saved greeting cards, made things out of them, but they also sent them someplace. And I don't know if it was some kind of a center where people made things out of them or whatever. But, you know, look around. You probably got some of these items. You probably have some other things that you don't really need to throw away, but, you know, you didn't know what you could do with them. So this is a place to start. And like I said, it is on Aramarte Theo Facebook page. And something that I did, you know, a couple weeks ago I talked about deconstructing jeans and, you know, saving what you could and blah, blah. Well, I did that with some T-shirts this week because I had some that, I mean, they're way too big. I'm not going to wear them. There's something, you know, this or that. But the ones that have any kind of little stains, I'm not going to give them to an organization to sell because they're just going to take up space if they even get that far. I mean, they just may make rags from the beginning if they see the little spots or whatever. And so I tore those down too. I cut them up for rags in, you know, nice size shape, blah, blah, and cut off the seam, the heavier part like that. And then, you know, the edges so that it would be relatively square or rectangular. Those pieces, as are some of the scraps from the jeans, are going in compost because, you know, fabric will disintegrate also. So it's another good thing to put in the compost. So why not? So that's just a little one of those hacks. One more thing, I'm going to be buying peanuts, it looks like, because I do have a new friend who met me at my porch. I was having tea, and you know, there's lots of squirrels in the neighborhood, but this guy was very persistent. He'd come on the porch and look at me, back off, come back and look, back off, and he came right up. I thought he was going to jump on my lap. He did get up on the table, so I guess, you know, I feed them in the wintertime. But if he's going to be coming around in the summer, I'm going to be feeding him too. So anyway, that's it for Bits and Bobs. And we'll be back with Casey Carraher, and we're going to talk about moving. Yes, we are. Well, hello, Mr. Casey. Casey J. Carraher. I thought moving was very apropos because you've just moved again. You know, we were talking because you and I have probably moved more than anyone I actually know. Anyone else?
And combined more than most people in one state.
Exactly, pretty much. You know, I told you that I think that, well, I've not moved more than 50 times, right? So right before the show, Casey, I was just going over fast in my head, and it's like, oh, fuck. I mean, just without any effort, I got up in the high 30s. So, yeah. So, yeah, together we have moved a lot. I wanted to ask you about your worst move ever.
I think my worst move might have been this recent one that we just had the other day here. You know, what happens, the perfect storm brews up when the people that you – when the people that you are dealing, sorry, I have to leave the other room. Sorry, it's a little loud out there. Sorry, apologize. When the people that you have that are assisting you get sick, or and the other one can't help you, and the other one has to work, you know, it's like that horrible cable commercial where the person's calling for assistance and no one is available all of a sudden. And then so that leaves us to move and just a couple other people. And, you know, I live with pack rats, well, Kevin specifically, and so we have a lot of stuff for just us. We have a lot of stuff that you wouldn't think so, but we do. And we ended up moving till about 2 in the morning, from 10 a.m. in the morning till about 2 the next morning, pretty much straight.
God. Yeah.
So that was sweet misery. But, you know, but we're good at moving. So that's the problem, is it can happen to anyone, even if you are, quote, unquote, a professional mover.
Yeah. Well, and this is true, though, that usually you and Kevin, you don't want any help. I mean, you've got it down. You've moved so much, you've got it down. But this time,
right,
you need help, particularly, because where you're moving from and where you're moving to, there's the time limit on, like, elevators and truck space and everything. So
yeah, that's one important aspect when you're thinking about moving, is you have to schedule things appropriately. We had 2 hours to move out of using our elevator out of our current place, so that's not a very long time. That definitely played into it. So, you know, we rushed a lot of things, and then you have to take the regular elevator, so you have to bring down small batches of things so you're not crowding the elevators up and all of that good stuff. So that's
right.
Frickin' misery.
Well, and then if there's only the two of you, I mean, one person, you either have to keep locking the truck and going back, or one person's got to stay down, and, I mean, it gets confusing. I've never had a bad move, I don't believe. I've had a couple frustrating ones, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
One was was rather fast. I and some of my friends went to the place I was living, and we loaded up very fast everything because I didn't want the person I was living with to come home while I was doing this. And that was just frustrating. It was sad and hurried and... You know, yada. My other one, though, was just silly, but I remember we didn't rent a truck or anything, and I remember my washer and my dryer in people's trunks bouncing over hill and dale, and this is when I learned what we all should know anyway, but, you know, sometimes we need to have things reiterated. If you promise your movers alcohol, they get after everything is unloaded.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That is
key, by the way. I was going to say that. Beer and food come after.
Exactly. You can have water during, you know.
Food, but not definitely not the beer.
Yeah, no, not the beer.
It's time to relax. And when it's time to
relax,
one beer stands clear.
Yeah. I mean, I'll never forget. This is in Idaho, and watching, like, the washer go off in the back of some car as they were bouncing off through, you know, it's like I didn't know if I'd see them again, much less the washer. But Oh, yeah, they showed up. But moving. But it's so much fun. I mean, the whole idea. If you're, and hopefully nobody's ever moving, like, to a place they don't want to be. You know, because that's,
well, you know, that doesn't happen quite
lucky.
A bit, so.
Yeah, well, we've been pretty lucky going to places we wanted to go.
Correct.
So
always
that
moving somewhere. It may not be up or down or, you know, in quality, but usually there's always something interesting about your new location. You know, there's something that draws you there.
Right.
That's always something to hang on to, especially sometimes you do have to downgrade, you know what I mean? And you better find something interesting about the new place and hold on to that thought. Otherwise, it's gonna make the process misery. And, you know, they say that the most stressful time in people's lives are getting married and moving.
Well, there you go.
So you have to take that very seriously if you're professional movers like us.
We should be the most stressed people in the world.
But we're not. I think I'm a pretty good mover, too, by the way. So I pack well. The thing about packing well doesn't mean that you pack anally or that you pack with such preciseness, because that also takes time. You just pack right, and you pack efficiently, and you do it quickly, and you just do it. You don't spend a lot of time thinking about it. You just do it. You know those people that you talk about them and they're moving, and 3 months before their move, every day you hear about, oh, I got to pack, and I'm packing, and I'm trying to figure out my packing. You know, that's misery too. So you just do it.
Well,
you just start packing things. Don't get too anal about, oh, I got to pack this with that because it goes in this room. People get really, really anal about over-organizing a move. Organization is important. It really is.
You know,
because there are people.
There's a couple things about the organization part, though. I think depending on where you're moving, but, you know, a lot of us move into even neighborhoods that we think are perfectly safe and on, but, you know, there's no such thing anymore, and people will be observing your move. So it's like, you don't use the packing things maybe that something came in if it, you know, cost a lot of money, or you don't put on, you don't label your boxes is what I'm saying. Don't label them. Put a number on them. I mean, if you're doing it that way, number your boxes, have a master list. Okay, so number one holds things, whatever. Or you can put, you know, bedroom, something like that. But don't go into detail on the box about what's in it, because people are looking, trust me. That's just no good. But what you were saying, you know, if you, before you move, if you know ahead of time, and you usually do, instead of worrying about packing, start getting rid of things. Take them down to the boxes everywhere. Take them to the Goodwill. Have a yard sale. Get rid of things so you don't have so much shit to pack.
Because I didn't.
I mean,
right.
That makes sense. And then it's not such a headache. And of course, you know, those last couple of weeks before you're actually packing, go somewhere, get some newspapers, get whatever it takes. Get the liquor store boxes.
Right.
Get boxes. You know, try not to put a lot of money into your packing supplies, but...
No, don't go out. And you don't have to purchase the boxes from the store that are $2 each, and you're spending hundreds of dollars in boxes alone.
Absolutely.
That's just stupid. So,
no.
You know, there are a lot of ways you can get around that.
Get some good packing tape or masking tape and a tape thing.
Not,
you know,
masking
something like
tape,
that.
Packing tape.
Yeah, packing
definitely
tape,
need
not masking
packing tape.
Tape.
Yeah.
And
you,
I mean,
need packing
just,
tape, you need a marker, you need you know what, and when you're moving, get a truck. Don't do it in a van, and don't think you're going to get your butt on ball or your buddy's pickup truck, and you're going to take 10 trips back and forth between the two places. That is utter misery. Spend the $100, rent the truck for 24 hours. Like, we rent a 17-foot truck, so it's a nice big truck. We pack it filled. Believe me, we pack it full. But so we require that. And get dollies. Get your hand truck and spend the money and rent the dolly and the hand truck. and just live with that cost because it's going to be the best money that you've spent.
Yeah.
Another thing to do is to get you can get them now. This is one purchase I would make at like a Lowe's or whatever, is to get the large roll of shrink wrap.
Oh,
and
yes.
while it's not ecologically sound, that's okay, because we are moving, we have to make concessions, right? You can always recycle it later. But if you have larger pieces that are, you know, like sometimes a set of drawers where the drawers are all in it, you can wrap around it with shrink wrap. You can wrap your TVs up there with it and make it very easy to move them, and you don't have to, you know, everything's bound up. So that's a great way to wrap stuff too.
Yeah. I mean, don't make it hard on yourself. Make it as easy as possible. And what you said, the truck is true. Although I have moved a lot with people's pickups and things, and it was okay. But like you say, there's lots of
it's okay if you're taking one or maybe maximum two trips. But if we're talking you're taking three or four trips, it will be the most miserable move in your life because it seems like it will never end.
I don't know. I mean, I didn't have that experience, but I know when I did rent a truck, but of course that was for cross country, and it was like a 20, I'm going to say 20 or 25 foot, but I know it's at least 20. It was full. And, I mean, loading it took a while, but like you said, the dolly's important. And unloading, it is such a, it's a good feeling when it's all there. Yeah. And you just unload it. You're done.
Yeah.
And if I had that to do again that trip, I would have gotten rid of a lot of things before I moved, but I just didn't think about that.
Right.
You know, we're not saying get rid of things that mean a lot to you, but things that don't have that kind of a sentimental or anything, and something you can easily replace for little or nothing, you know, just think about it. Maybe you don't want to move it with you.
Right.
So this was your worst or most frustrating, just because of the everybody who was going to help had, you know, it didn't work out. What was your best, your smoothest, and why was it the smoothest, Stacey?
I actually think moving into the previous apartment, we still had the elevator issue, but for some reason we had less stuff because, you know, you collect stuff very quickly. And we did have less stuff. And for some reason, it just went very, very smooth. I seem to barely remember the process of doing it, which is a good sign.
Yeah. Now, you said that was the one right before this?
Yes, that was moving it into the place that we just moved out of, actually.
And you had a yard sale right before it, too.
We did. So, you know, we had some things going on. It was interesting, but...
Yeah.
So that's good. But I do, I am on the road, and speaking of moving, we unfortunately broke in the move. We broke our air conditioner, so we are on the move again right now to go try to find another one. So we think we found one used, so we're going, which is another good thing. Sometimes it's better just to leave things behind and get new things if that's at your last resort. It's going to be a drama, so lesson learned on that one. But so we are off and running. But
well,
I do need to help Kevin before we have a problem here. So I do have to end our interview.
Oh, okay. Well, and say hi to Kevin. Glad you found a new one.
Yes. Oh, Lord.
Yeah. Wow.
But I'd like to come on again and actually give some like top 10 tips. So,
okay.
If you'll invite me back, I'd love to do it.
I will invite you back. Yeah. Okay,
excellent.
That'll be lovely. The top 10 tips.
All right. That's... Happy moving.
Hey.
Bye. Bye.
I'll see you later. Okay. We had to end that just a little bit before we thought, whoops, that's okay. I was trying to think of some of the moves that I had made. You know, some of them were for obviously very short periods of time, and yet they could have been just as traumatic. But I did travel across the United States, from Florida to Oregon, and not taking a lot of things with us. I mean, everything was either we had a pickup at one point, we had a hearse at one point, and we had tons of animals with us always. So I do know what it's like to move with not a lot of things, and actually it's very freeing. And while I may not be going to be living that lifestyle again, I do want to get rid of still more of my things. And, you know, I talk to you guys about this all the time, about clearing out things. Because the more you clear out, the more space you have. And then you have the space for you and your mind. And it certainly makes a difference. So really happy moving. And we will have Casey J. Bass with Top 10 Moving Hacks. And we will return then with Sarit Jacobson. Hello, Sarit.
Hi.
Hey. Well, wow. We have so many things to talk about. So I was actually offline for a few days, so what all have I missed when it comes to Palestine?
What's new?
Yeah.
Things are very tough there right now. I'm seeing that people are sending donations to people in Gaza. That's good.
Yeah.
They have no electricity, no water, nowhere for the sewer to go. I am very worried. It seems like a concentration camp under most terrible conditions. Any disease could erupt there because they have no way to even keep the bodies freezing in the hospital. Very dangerous situation. Israel's playing with fire as usual. They don't care about the lives of the Palestinians. Israeli celebrities are calling to beat up lefties or anyone who dares to feel any remorse or for the Palestinians.
Oh, really? Oh, classy.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Well, you know, when I come
and,
back,
and they're getting a lot of support, huh?
Well, that's ridiculous. But when I got back online, I saw that there is a ceasefire right now, supposedly, that started yesterday morning at Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. and it's supposed to be a 3-day ceasefire. And I don't even understand why. I don't get it, and I doubt that it's going to be kept anyway. The Zionists have never kept one before, so, you know, but I don't understand what it's about, the ceasefire, because we know that they don't want peace. So what have I missed, Sarit?
Obama called them and saw in the Israeli papers and told them that they are losing support in the world.
Well,
because
yeah.
of their actions. And that they need to get out. He asked them to lift the siege and everything. But they do as they wish.
Sure.
With impunity.
But that might, okay, so that would explain then possibly ceasefire, because they're going to say that this is something that they did, and even though if it's broken, it will be them, but that they will put that on to Hamas probably, because they blame Hamas for everything.
They blame Hamas for everything. In fact, one of the most painful things about this is the lies, seeing the lies the Israeli people are told and how they would rather believe their media than... Why do they even believe the media and not... I don't understand why they only believe their own sources, the Israelis.
Well, they're too lazy to check things out, and... They're just like people here who, you know, I mean, I was like that once.
Totally.
I believed. I thought that this government would not lie to me. And, I mean, it turns out that that's what the government's been doing forever. But, you know, I mean, it takes something, and that's why we're on radio. That's why we're online, because you never know what little thing you're going to say or post that's going to make somebody take another look and open their eyes.
Yes.
So
yes.
That's why we
I
do
agree.
What we do. It's, you know.
Absolutely.
Because it's not that people, I don't know, I mean, some people definitely do want to be in denial, and they don't want to know. And some of them are so racist, you know, for whatever reason, that you can't reason with them. But most people
yeah.
aren't really that way. And so if you can get something to them, and, you know, now, I mean, even the mainstream media has been, you know, showing pictures and things, I understand, because it's gotten
oh, yeah.
totally out of hand because,
mainstream.
Yeah, well, social media has had a lot to do with it, and it's like, you know, we can't
totally.
Deny it. Now, when I saw, and you may have different figures, Sarit, but I saw that of the ones that we know of, there's been 1,875 dead Palestinians, and 430 of those are children. There's been over 9,000 Palestinians wounded, about 10,000 actually, and 100,000 some people displaced from homes. Is that about the figures you have?
I have 400,000 people displaced.
Okay. Okay. Then that's probably, yeah. That's
10,000 wounded.
Yeah.
And we're talking about hospitals that have been damaged by tank shells. Hospitals
what?
Running without electricity or water or air condition. It's one of the hottest places on the planet, Gaza City.
And with germs.
In the desert.
And then germs in a hospital anyway, and then
oh,
the heat.
Oh, yeah.
The heat just makes that, you know, bacteria grow. It's horrible. And then I saw that some of the hospitals are being used. I mean, people are sleeping on the floors, and, you know, the doctors and
absolutely.
Nurses.
Absolutely. Oh, because the family wants to stay by their friend, by their members. So
sure.
So many people are homeless. That in Islamic society, people are much more. Into helping each other than in our American
sure.
or Western society. But
yeah.
they do not turn people down. They do not let people sleep in the street. They will even invite you to their house even if there's no room for you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so they'll
make sure
that you have, yeah, some form of comfort. So there's, I don't know, I mean, I see these pictures of the children and these huge, I mean, like little hills of debris of where there were buildings before, homes, hospitals, schools, other buildings, you know, just this big piles of rubble.
Mosques, libraries.
Awesome, yeah.
Ice cream factories.
And
they blew
yeah.
up their ice cream factory.
Well, that was clever because heaven knows those ice cream cones are terrorists or something. More than, you know, it just, there is no sense to this. I saw that in an article, and I didn't understand quite, but it said that 60% of the Israelis that took this poll, so, you know, polls, it just always depends on who takes it anyway, say that Palestinians won this particular quote-unquote war. And I'm not sure if they mean that the Zionists didn't completely annihilate the Palestinians, so that means that the Palestinians won, or what? I didn't understand the article very well. But I think that more Israelis than before are, well, at least a lot are more vocal about being against it now. But that's scary. And then
I
you've
hope
got,
so.
Yeah, but then you've your right-wing fascists that are,
yes.
you know,
Need help. They're screaming for help.
Yeah. So I don't.
Very easy to understand how they become that way. My friend has sent me some IDF Hasbara, which is how they explain things to the Israelis, and I was blown away by what I've seen. First of all, they don't mention the occupation. Second, they mention Islam, BS, Judaism. They find the worst Muslims ever and make a movie about them and tell everyone this is Islam. They want to annihilate us. That survival mode fear going on in the people.
Right. Okay, so then, I mean, they're simply lying, but they're using religion then to say
absolutely.
That...
Absolutely, and fear.
To take over, yeah, okay.
They made Hamas into...
Of
Boko
course.
Haram.
Yeah, you must bring Hamas into...
Very tragic.
So they're fear-mongering, and people fall for it.
People are scared. Yeah. They're born with their parents being an IDF and their grandparents.
Sure.
And it's just a holy cow.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because...
A lot of people... Yeah. They don't like to criticize IDF or their...
No. Well, you know what? I think a good analogy would be like in this country, the U.S., where we have cops who's like, you know, this guy's dad and uncles and grandfather, they were all cops. And, I mean, he just grows up, he's going to be a cop. And he is.
Yeah.
And, I mean, and some cops are fine. Others are scum. But it's just, so he's less likely to believe bad things about policemen since his family, I mean, that's like the family career. They're cops. And so that would be somebody whose parents and grandparents were in the IDF. It's just like, well, yeah. I mean, we just automatically, we join it. We're 18. We go off and, you know, kill a Palestinian. That's what we do. Until something happens.
Oh, they even call them terrorists, not Palestinians.
Right, right.
That makes it easier.
Right. They're terrorists.
They're always terrorists. Yeah.
Yes. No matter.
Scary word.
The sex or the age or whatever, they're terrorists. So, but then that makes sense because until something happens in their brain and makes them question, they aren't going to question. That's what you're doing so much because you speak Hebrew and you get into these groups and you're telling them what's really going on. And some of them want to hear you, but others... do. I mean, you're opening people's eyes to read.
I've seen a lot of Israeli places on the computer, on all kinds of social networking, where they're calling flat out for genocide. So don't think our activism is failing. In fact, they're angry at me that because of the noise we make in the world, they can't genocide them all.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's what we would say to our listeners who are doing this work. It's like, yeah, don't get discouraged. I mean, of course you're going to get discouraged. We all do. But don't give up because people are listening. And I found that
it
on
is
a personal
helping.
People I know are, you know, just maybe it's just a little bit, but something. A friend of mine was telling me that a person she admires greatly who has, and this particular thing, really been on the other side, you know, the, oh, my God, Israel's got to protect themselves, on and on.
Mm-hmm.
But my friend just keeps posting the truth on and on. So the other day, on her friend's Facebook wall, she saw something. Her friend had actually read something and was saying that she was feeling so horrible for the Palestinians. And it was just like, you know, I mean, to us that might not seem like a big deal, but my friend was just like, my God, she's getting it. Maybe just a little bit, but she's getting it. So, you know, the to take comfort in, we're joyful when we hear somebody's just getting a little bit at a time, whatever, even though we wish they would all just really open up their minds. But people are, it's hard to imagine, I think, for a lot of us, particularly in the U.S., Sarit, because as bad as things are here, we've never had things like that, and we can't imagine someone doing that to other human beings. So
yeah, it's a horrible life what the Palestinians have to endure. I would hate it for one day.
Oh, yeah. But I think that's what some of the people I know, when I just tell them, you know, straight out facts, they find it hard to believe it. It's not that they don't, you know, they don't think I'm a liar, but they themselves could never do this kind of evil to somebody,
good
and they can't understand.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Good people are having problems wrapping their head around it because it seems like something from some terrible, terrible horror story.
It's so true.
It's a horror truth.
It is so true.
I just felt
like
life
is humiliation from morning till night. For example, right now they have to live with, not only they had a war, they have no fridge. Even those who have a home,
yeah,
you can't even store your food without electricity in that heat.
Well, and
or your medicine.
Years, but that's it. For years, they've had, you know, power blackouts every day, so they really couldn't keep food in fridges well, and medicine, forget it. So, you know, they've been dealing with this the whole time. And now, of course, this is much worse because if you've got 400,000 people displaced, and, I mean, we're talking about a fifth of the population or more of Gaza displaced. And remember, Gaza is a very tiny, tiny land area. And it's just, so people are living on top of each other and staying wherever they can. And like you said, I mean, it's very hot, and this is the Northern Hemisphere. This is summertime there. It's very hot. So
very.
What are they doing? I mean, and water, if they can even get it, is not potable anyway. I mean, it's bad water. So
very low quality water is what they have, because their water purifying plant has had a bomb fall on it also.
Israel
has lost its. Oh, let me tell you a personal story. I have a friend in Israel. She served in IDF in a war. I think it was in the 60s. Anyway, suddenly her mom calls her base and says, "Oh my God, I heard Egyptian soldiers came in the base and raped 100 girls." And she says, "Oh no, Mom, that's not true. We didn't have Egyptian soldiers come in the base and rape us." But by the time she was talking with her mom, it was in all the Israeli papers that Egyptian soldiers came in her base and raped the women, which was a story to create hate and fear in the people by the IDF propaganda guy, which is now, that guy now is in charge of IDF.
Oh.
She says,
well, sure, that's his reward.
He is the head of IDF now.
Right.
And he loves to make up stuff.
And he gets rewarded.
Israel's a small country. Everyone knows everyone.
But see, that's going to be fear-mongering.
Totally.
You know, and I mean, and I guess we all need to, I mean, there's a lot of things that people can be, and righteously, and rightfully, afraid of. But when somebody's trying to bring out the fear in you about anything, you know, it's time to just, whoa, take a step back and breathe and really check it out. Don't fall for it. Don't just...
Oh, they do.
You know, say, oh, my God, such and such is happening, and they're going to do this and this and this. It's like, no, you know, reason it out.
Take your time. Think about things.
Yeah. Before you jump
to
this and then start telling other people and scaring them, you know.
It's good to keep an open mind when it comes to science and politics. And
Well, I think that all of this is helping a lot of us with spiritual growth, because it is making us think and check things out for ourselves and find out what we really believe and what we base our beliefs on.
Yes,
so,
we can absolutely see who people are in times like this.
Yes.
It exposes people.
It does. And by the same token, it shows you the people that you want to have in the new world that we're forging, you know, that you want to be with. It really helps you. Separate like the wheat from the chaff or something, you know, you
absolutely
you see, like you say, it exposes people, and it exposes
totally
the good and the bad. So we're really seeing, you know, what makes up a person. And it's we get some surprises too. So
we do.
Good and bad there again. But more, it seems like more people, more famous people, are coming out against the acts of Israel in Gaza right now.
I'm glad they're waking up. It took them a while.
Because it's
been horrible for so long.
Yeah.
The life in Palestine, just even without the murders, it's just horrible. The humiliation, they can undress you, they can touch you, they can do anything they want.
Yeah. Well, I did see a figure that, you know, because we've talked before about how not just the children, but probably 90-some percent of the people in Gaza and West Bank are suffering from stress.
PTSD,
And so I saw something that I believe it was the UN or some other organization that just came out and said that about 400,000 children in Gaza are suffering right now from that. And I think that's
I'm
a very
sure.
figure because, but they're saying, you know, yeah, these kids have seen people killed, they've seen people with their limbs amputated and all of this. I mean, how could they not be stressed? You know, I mean, they're human. How can they not?
Every night they thought they were going to die.
Yeah.
The noise is incredible.
Yeah. Well, and just like you had mentioned before, the young women, and not just the young women, but the Muslim women going to bed with their clothes on because they thought they would die and they wanted to be dressed when people found them.
Mm-hmm.
And if that isn't the most horrid thing, you know, it's just like, okay, you're laying down and you don't expect to wake up, so you make sure you're dressed. I mean, now this is stress. You know, no one can say, well, that's not stressful. You know, they lived another day, they're fine. It's like, no. What kind of entity does this to people? And I would say a very greedy political party, which is what Zionism is. It's a political entity. They want the oil that belongs to the Palestinians. They want the land that belongs to Palestinians. And the cheap labor. Because the Palestinians don't have any choice. I mean, they'll take what they can get.
And they pay taxes to Israel. They pay electric bills to Israel. And they pay twice the bill than an Israeli family has to pay.
And don't have any, like in the West Bank, when they can look and see, like from the top of their houses or something, they can see the squatters, the settlers on the stolen land with swimming pools and green grass and lots of green trees, and the Palestinians barely have water to drink.
Very little.
Yeah. So, and that's what I don't, I want people to get up in arms and very upset about Gaza, but I don't want them to forget that Palestine is also made up of the West Bank, where those people, like you were talking, I mean, in the checkpoints and everything, the women are just manhandled however the IDF wants to. They steal their money. They harass them when they're in the checkpoints trying to get to one area to another, I mean, whether it's to work or to school or whatever. So we can't just forget them.
Them get harassed.
Yeah. Well, and also, I mean, like right now they don't have, I mean, but their houses are raided all the time. Their children are thrown in jail. I mean, they don't have drones and missiles hitting them in the West Bank. But their families, they have relatives in Gaza, and so, I mean, they're stressed for that, too. But their houses are being invaded any old time for no reason. So we can't forget. It's not just Gaza. It's Palestine.
It is. My friend is getting the reports of the protests against the attack on Gaza and the West Bank. And they were very beautiful and peaceful until they were attacked by soldiers, according to the Israeli activists.
Yeah. Well, I totally believe that, because the Palestinians and the internationals that are with them, I mean, they're protesting. That's it. Until they're attacked, yeah. So
yeah. So really, we are more pro-Israel than all the Zionists, because we're pro-everyone there to live happily in peace. We're there only pro some people to live in obedience.
Well, I mean, that's it. Well, we know that there's a lot of Israelis who are pro-Palestine, and
a lot of
Israelis that are very unhappy with their government, not just because of Palestine, but because of the way their government treats Israelis, too.
They would all be pro-Palestine if they knew the Palestinians don't hate them. They just hate the occupation.
Yes, yes, yeah.
That's what the media creates, misunderstanding on purpose so they can have war.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what I've had people tell me, you know, for years. You know, they're talking about, quote, unquote, those people. So, you know, anytime somebody, well, those people, who are they talking about? But, you know, those terrorists over there in the Middle East, they hate us. And I'm like, they don't hate me. I said, they hate my government, and I hate my government. I don't even consider my government, but it's like they hate our government, as they should. We should, too. They don't hate me.
They hate American bombs.
Exactly. As they should.
Yeah.
But it's like they don't hate us. And, you know, because they don't. And that's one of the things social media has done. It has helped people make friends around the world. And we understand how similar we are. So when somebody
absolutely
says, oh, they hate us, they hate all Americans, it's like, no way do they hate all Americans.
They love activists. Activists are always loved everywhere.
Yes. I mean, we have so many invitations. You know, it's just like, wow, if I just had the money to get there, just like you, I mean, we have plenty of places to stay. People that want us to come visit, and they'll feed us and everything, you
absolutely
know? We have so many invitations to come visit, come stay with us. And, I mean, and these are people who don't have that much, but like you said, very, very, very willing to share.
Absolutely. I'm Israeli, and I've been invited to Gaza a long time ago.
Yeah.
I chose a lot.
Yeah, exactly, because well, that's it. I mean, so the Palestinians, they don't hate Israelis. They do hate
No, they hate being oppressed. But
exactly.
The Israelis don't get it. And I've had many arguments with them, showing them what's happening in Palestine, and they say the pictures are photoshopped. They don't believe it. It's very difficult. I'm not sure there's hope from Israel.
It's hard for people to believe. And it's particularly hard for somebody to believe that their own government would do this kind of thing. I mean, it was hard for me way back.
It's hard, isn't it?
You know, that the U.S. would do what
it
does around the world. It was very hard. But once I
it
really
sounds insane.
I had it.
Yeah.
It's like, Okay. And that's what the Israelis, I mean, they don't want to believe that their government does this. It's hard.
No, many are still living a dream that they have the most moral army in the world and take pride in it.
I know. And
maybe their army is more moral than the Syrian army. I don't know. But it's horrible.
I don't think so. I'm okay with the Syrian army. I mean, not that they've not done things, but...
Or the rebel army.
They had the rebel army. Now, with the backing of the U.S. and all, I don't have much sympathy for them.
Yeah.
Out of,
I think I meant that one.
I don't think they've got very many morals. Well, I mean, obviously they're going where the money is because the U.S. is paying them, and Saudi Arabia. And so, you know, it's... But that's what war is, and now we know. Years and years ago, I mean, way back, hundreds, thousands, whatever, people might have fought for, I mean, it's never been right. You know, war just isn't right. But they may have had a little different, something that you could respect a little bit more, like their reasons. But now, it's totally... the whole greed thing, and people like our service people from the U.S., many of them don't understand that they think that they're trying to keep America free. You know, isn't that a joke? They don't understand that what they're trying to do is invade another country so that these big corporations can steal the natural resources. They don't understand what they're doing, that they're part of it.
Too uneducated to know that. Very sad.
I mean, and there again, how are they going to get their education? They sure won't get it in school. And I mean, it's activists that you know are working day in, day out, trying to just make them start thinking for themselves because they're not taught to think for themselves. It's like, well,
absolutely,
the government, and we've got to go over there and murder those, you know, we've got to go kill the terrorists because they're trying to, I don't know, do something to America because they hate us. They're jealous. They hate us. It's like, no, they're not jealous and they don't
hate
us.
That's what the Israelis say.
See, it's seems to be the good
goal.
You
can't go kill people because they hate you. That's just crazy.
Yeah. It's like, well, you know, excuse me, I don't want that. I don't want the Israeli government. I don't want the government we have here right now either. But I'm not under the illusion or delusion that people in other countries hate me because I'm American. Because they don't. So, I don't know. This ceasefire should... It's supposed to go till from what Tuesday morning, Wednesday, Thursday till Friday morning. Their time. What do you think? Do you think that then they're going to bomb it again or what?
They're already talking about the next war.
Okay.
They're addicted to war. They enjoy it too much.
Part two of this was Protective Edge, Operation Protective Edge.
It costs them a lot of money, and they're going to raise Israeli taxes, I heard, to make them pay for it. So that's kind of...
Oh.
So they're going to pay for it. Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
I think it's going to be a real ceasefire for a little while. And
will
open the tunnels where they've been blown up. It doesn't take long to open the tunnels back up.
Right. Okay.
War is good for the economy.
War is wonderful for the economy. Totally immoral.
No, Israel's isolating herself. So many countries are...
Yeah, a lot of countries
herself.
Are taking against Israel, for sure.
So many celebrities.
People
that
can't
be
dance. Yeah.
The best thing we can do right now is keep pushing for peace.
We've only got seconds left. We'll be back next Wednesday, and... hopefully we'll have some good things to report.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
We will have something good anytime.
And have a great weekend. And Thanks for everything you're doing.